you're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all the crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So the topic for today's episode is going to be sexuality, learning disabilities, and how they interact with someone's mental illness. The guest for this interview is going to be Catherine, and she's a 18-year-old from Canada, and she's going to tell us about the stigmas that she faced as being someone who's bisexual, someone who has a learning disability, as well as a mental illness. So I hope you guys enjoy her story.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm studying to be a librarian. I have depression, general anxiety disorder, and social anxiety disorder.
Okay. Oh, and you also mentioned that you're LGBT and mental health advocate?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So, when did you first get diagnosed?
I got diagnosed with severe anxiety problems in the 7th grade, and I got diagnosed with depression in the 11th grade, so that was around 2010.
Okay, and how, when was it clear that something was wrong?
Well, I've been having anxiety attacks since the 2nd grade, and they just got worse and worse each year, and by the time I was in middle school, I was missing school. I had a lot of stomach pain and nausea and a lot of physical symptoms from my anxiety, so we finally decided to see a doctor about it.
Okay. And how did it progress over the years from when you first found out and till now?
Well, I've seen 2 therapists, and I've gotten start off in medication. I've tried different things. I went to a lot of coping strategies. There's been a lot of ups and downs.
Okay, what are some of your go-to coping strategies that you use when things start to get a little rough or things get harder or on bad days? What are your favorite ones to try?
I have a lot. Usually the one that works best is singing or listening to music. I have some comfort objects, breathing exercises, stuff like that too.
Okay. What are some of your comfort objects? I'm just asking because I have some of my own.
A lot of it's jewelry stuff that I wear. I've got this necklace that says Courage on it that my mom gave to me when I used to act or play. I always wear it when I'm doing something stressful. And I have teddy bears and stuff like that too. And things like that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I used to carry a little pocket Buddha, but I lost it, so I have to get another one. So what is the relationship between your sexual orientation and your mental illness? I know that's something that you mentioned that you wanted to speak about, if you want to speak about that.
Yep. So I'm bisexual, and I think I always have been, but I only figured it out around the 11th grade, same time as my depression was being diagnosed. And I definitely think bisexual erasure and invisibility is something that has a huge effect on my self-esteem. So bisexual erasure is when a bisexual person is put into a category of being straight or being gay when they're actually bi. So a lot of famous people like Freddie Mercury have been labeled as just gay or just straight instead of being bi. That adds to bisexual erasure and invisibility, just when you just don't see a lot of bi people in the media and in life. And sometimes people just don't believe bisexuality exists or don't know it exists. So for a long time, I didn't know it existed. And that caused a lot of anxiety and stress for me. I thought there was something wrong with me because I liked more than one gender.
Right. And
that's also been a part of my healing process, just connecting with other bisexual people. Has really helped my self-esteem, and I always feel most like myself when I'm around other people like me.
Exactly. Must have been tough to deal with the mental illness aspect of it, and then having that kind of adding to the stresses of having a mental illness. So it's probably was a tough transition. So how did you experience many stigmas that came from both the mental illness side of it and the sexuality part of it?
So I went to a Catholic high school, so it was a really a safe environment for being a bisexual girl in.
Mm-hmm.
Just there are a lot of hurtful comments about gay people, and there are a lot of debates about whether being gay was okay from the religious side of it, and there weren't many people who were out at my school, so it was very alone and kind of unsafe feeling. And whenever it did come up, like in literature or anything, bisexuality or homosexuality, there were a lot of hurtful comments from fellow students, and the professors didn't really stand up for people like me. They kind of stood more with the homophobic students than with people like me. So I was difficult. Then there was also stigma from the mental illness side. I felt like a lot of the teachers didn't believe me when I said I had mental illness, and a lot of them treated me like I was just being lazy when I wasn't performing well in school. And I had a problem with disclosure and confidentiality at my school, so I'm not sure how, but some teachers who I didn't even know and who I'd never had class with knew that I had some sort of mental illness, and they knew that I was on medication for it. So sometimes they'd come up to me and make these comments like, "Oh, did you forget to take your pills today?"
Oh my stuff goodness. Like that. Wow.
Oh, it wasn't the best school for a mentally ill bisexual person.
I bet. That's crazy. How did you handle that situation with the teacher, with the disclosure? Did you speak to them about it or anything?
I'm not really good at confrontation, so I probably didn't take the best course of action. I just stopped disclosing stuff to the counselor at that school because I didn't feel like my information was being handled safely, so I just stopped going.
Right. I don't blame you at all for that. And you also mentioned about learning disability and the connection between that and your mental illness. Would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, totally. I have something called dyscalculia, and it's a lot like dyslexia, but with numbers and spatial understanding.
Wait,
so
you said dyscalculia?
Dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia?
I can't pronounce
it. Okay.
I'll type it for you.
Okay.
So stuff like telling time and handling numbers, even simple stuff like addition, subtraction is really difficult for me. And understanding space. So like if you tell me something is 5 kilometers away from here, I have no idea what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't compute in my brain.
Right.
So I have a lot of difficulty with math and some sciences. And that's really affected my grades. I failed grade 11 math around the same time depression was starting too, so that was a factor.
Right.
And that's affected my self-esteem a lot because I'm really good in other subjects like French, English, writing type stuff. So I was always placed in gifted classes, so I had advanced math. So that was difficult for me. And the not good environment, very competitive, and I faced some bullying with some of the kids in there who thought I was stupid because I couldn't perform well in math.
Wow.
So that caused anxiety and wrecked my self-esteem a bit. It's definitely been a factor in my depression.
Okay. Well, that's also something that I don't really, obviously, I don't have experience with, but I can't imagine how it must have felt to deal with the learning disability in school, especially math. Like you said, it's really competitive in math, especially if you were in advanced math classes. So,
yeah, I was doing like college level math in grade 11.
Wow.
And I just could not keep up.
That's crazy. And were you able to like pass the classes, or how did you go through with it?
I failed the math exam. I got like 27%.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up just barely passing. Like, I don't think I passed. I think they like upped my grade a bit. I got like 50% of the passing grade. So I'm pretty sure they upped my grade. So I retook it the next semester trying to get it again, and I failed again, even worse.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I just stopped taking math class. I don't need it for my career, so.
That's good. At least you don't need to put yourself through that again.
Yeah.
And so, how are you, like, today? How are you doing now with everything?
I think I'm doing better. I'm learning a lot about how to cope with my anxiety and how not to make myself feel bad or guilty about being anxious so often. And I guess my depression's gone a lot better since I got on my current medication. I'm seeing a new therapist, and it's going well so far. I've gone past all of, like, the darker side of my depression, like the suicidal thoughts and all that. So I think I'm starting to get better, but not quite there yet.
Okay. I can definitely understand that part of it. Just, you know, taking it one day at a time and, you know, making changes, but it's little for me,
yeah.
But they add up though. So, you know, keep it up.
Yeah. And, school's been a lot better now that I'm in college. I've got a lot more assistance with my learning facility, and I've got a bit of a community around me for other LGBT people, and that's been helping a lot too.
That's awesome. And what advice would you have someone who finds themselves in similar situation that you've been through with the sexuality, with the learning disorder, and with mental illness? How what advice would you give to someone?
To all the other LGBT kids out there, look for community. Don't feel ashamed if you have to stay in the closet. It's okay. Do what is best for you, what makes you happy, what keeps you safe. For other kids with learning disabilities, don't feel ashamed. There's nothing wrong with you. You just learn in different ways. Don't be ashamed for asking for help or seeking assistance. Do what you need to do to pass, and if you can't pass, that's okay. You'll always have a second chance. And for other kids with mental illnesses, don't be ashamed about your coping strategies, even if they seem weird or silly to other people. They make you feel good. Use them as much as you can, and it's never make yourself feel bad about relapsing or needing help. Do what you need to do to keep yourself alive and healthy.
That's some wonderful advice. And I think that's about it. Thanks a lot for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
It was, I really enjoyed learning about you.
All right, guys, that's all for today. Thank you for listening to Anxious Ramblings. So for the next episode, I'm going to bring a special guest, my boyfriend Gene, and we're going to be doing a Dating While Anxious episode. And in this episode, we're going to really talk about how it's like to deal with someone who has a mental illness, someone who has anxiety, and vice versa, how I deal with someone who doesn't. And you guys can send us questions. We got a whole bunch of questions through Tumblr. You can send us any questions that you'd like to answer, and someone who's been in like a long-term, we've been together for 7 years, long-term relationship, and how we handle my anxiety. And thank you for listening. You guys can contact me at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com, at Twitter at anxioussurvivor, and you can check out my website for all my podcasts, articles, and more at anxiousrambling.squarespace.com. Thanks.